If you pay attention to the third verse of that song, talking about the elders who are leaving that generation and depending on the next generation to stand up and step up. That's what we're doing here today. Today may seem like other days in our church life here, but I'm determined and I believe that it's going to be a red letter day in the history of this congregation. Today we are moving forward in our process to select and appoint more men as elders and deacons in this congregation. Today we are determined to grow Christ's kingdom, and we do that by leadership. Leadership is everything. Every organization, be it a nation, a family, or a church, is dependent on its leadership to either grow, stagnate, or fall back. We want leaders in this congregation, and that is going to require men and their wives to be willing to step up and take responsibility when it's easy just to let somebody else do the work. I'm asking you to consider just for a few moments today. You're going to be staggered at the thought that this is going to be a 10-minute sermon. Stay with me. The Bible says, I sought for a man. I want you to take your Bible over to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, beginning in verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 22, beginning in verse 23. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, is to Israel, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets, I want you to know all the P words that we're going to be looking at here. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey, to shed blood, to destroy the people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, Thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. And finally, the people. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed a robbery, and mistreated the poor and the needy, and they wrongfully oppress the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. Surely there cannot be sadder words found in the Bible than those words. When for 1,000 years, God had been trying to be the God of Israel. He was wanting them desperately to be His people, that He might use them to lead to the coming of His Son to save the world. They'd failed. And you can see when He makes the statement, I sought for a man, and He had listed a number of the leaders of the nation of Israel, the prophets and the priests and the princes. And He said, among them all, they had failed me. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and who would stand in the gap between the people and myself. But I found none. How sad is that? How desperately sad is that? That there were people who were claiming to be the leaders of the nation. Some devoured the people. Some profaned the holy things. And some were like wolves tearing at the prey, which led finally to the people committing adultery against God and their idols. The very fact that God would say, I found none, had to be a testimony to what was going on in the nation of Israel, that they had failed, and therefore God, through Ezekiel, speaking by the river Kibar in the land of Babylon, was saying, we're here because the leaders failed us. God was seeking for leaders. He was seeking for a man to stand in the gap. And no one stood up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Jordan read for us a little while ago. I always confuse those two. In chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, look at the statement that's found here in that verse, looking at three different translations of that verse. Watch ye stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. The word quit there just simply means act. As you can see in the next translations, be alert, stand firm in the faith, act like a man, be strong. The ESV says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. It's interesting that word, androzymai, is this the idea to make a man or to show yourself to be manly, to stand up and be a man. We desperately need men to stand up, to be strong and to be courageous, to take on responsibility, whether it be in the home, the nation, particularly here now, the church. When we think about the church, we're looking for men who will take as a motto of their life the passage in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33 that says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things of life will be provided for your needs. But he's saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Put it foremost in your life. Make it the center and the circumference, the warp and the woof of what your life is about. I am here to serve my King. I am a member of His reign, His kingdom. And I'm wanting to serve in any way that He sees fit. Help me, Lord, to look into my talents that You've given to me, that I will serve You with those talents, be they one, be they two, be they five, that I'm going to give You my life in the service of my King by the using of my talents before God. What's interesting about that passage that was read a moment ago is the next verses. Even though verse 13 says, act like a man, what he does, he gives us an example of what that looks like. And I'm asking every young man, every middle-aged man, and every old man in this congregation, along with your wives, to look at what the Apostle Paul said in these verses. When he said, let all that you do be done with love. I'm seeking for a man, and here's what I mean by that. Let all that you do be done with love. Everything that you do is centered around agape. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas. It's the first fruits of Achaia. And that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Their life is about the church. Their life is about their brothers and their sisters in the faith. Everything that they do is done with love, and it's for the kingdom. It's done for the church. And then he says that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. The whole congregation is now to get involved. Those who stand up and become leaders and others support those leaders and labor with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. In other words, here's these men who recognize their needs, their things that need to be done. Here am I, Lord, send me. Just like Isaiah said when he was cleansed from the altar of God, he recognized himself as being undone and as a sinner. And then he recognized that God had cleansed him. Therefore, he says to God, here am I. When God asks, who will go for us? Who can I send? And Isaiah says, here am I, Lord, send me. He finally concludes by saying, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. In other words, here are men, as he calls them men here at the conclusion of the verse. These are men who are willing to be spent and to be spent for the cause of Christ. They want more than anything in this world to go to heaven and take as many as they can with them. That's what a leader is. It's a leader who says, follow me, imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. In just a few moments, we're going to have a congregational meeting. Anyone and everyone's welcome to stay, be your visitor or a member of this congregation. But I want you to think about what we're going to try to accomplish. Among other things, this is among one of the several things we're going to talk about, is the idea that the church needs men. Notice the passage that Andy preached about, or will preach about, in fact, that he did preach about last week, in 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop or of an elder, of a pastor, of a shepherd, he desires a good work. And that's just not a cursory statement that Paul is giving. He's saying to Timothy, this is your life. Whether you ever become an elder in the church is really immaterial. Whether you ever become a deacon in the church is beside the point. He's saying, do you desire it? Do you desire to be served in the kingdom's work? He goes on to say, not only do you desire it, but he says, then a bishop must be. And now what I'm going to ask you to consider, as Andy has preached some lessons on this, I have printed up some outlines. They're going to be on the back table, on the white table, on the way out. And I want you to pick those up if you didn't get them last week. It's a series of lessons that I did years ago. In December of 1997, we appointed our first elders in the church. I spent almost a year preparing those lessons and preaching the lessons on the eldership. And we were able to appoint, beginning that day, in December the 9th, 1997, our first elders in this church. It marked a turning point. It marked a cornerstone in this history of this church. For it was then that I believe the church really began to grow. I'd moved here in 1986, and it was in 1997 we had our first elders. And from that moment on, I can trace it almost exactly. That's when this church began to truly grow. God knows what He's talking about. God needs leaders in this church. And I'm asking you, are you becoming qualified? Even if you're a young man, even if you're yet unmarried, to be thinking about and seeking the kingdom first in your life by you being used by God. Lord, will you send me? In Acts chapter 6 and in verse 3, something we're going to talk about at length in the next week. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you whom we may appoint over this business. In that particular verse, he's talking about deacons, men who would be able to serve the kingdom in the fashion of caring for the Grecian widows in that moment there in Jerusalem. But I believe it's a great example of what we're supposed to be doing in appointing men in this congregation, to look out from among ourselves and find men and their wives who'd be willing to serve in the roles of elders or deacons, to serve in the role of leaders of this congregation. We desperately need men. God seeks out. He says, I sought for a man. And I want you to think with me just for a second, as the church seeks to appoint these men, that in the one day years ago, in Ezekiel's day, God says, I sought for a man. And he concludes in a sad way, I found no one. As we think about the church today, I want us to think about in our day. As you are prayerful about this, that you contemplate in the study of the Word of God what the qualifications for elders and deacons are, that you'll prayerfully give the next 3 weeks to a devotion of your life to thinking about either becoming an elder or a deacon, or thinking about who you would select that we may appoint over this work. I'm asking you to prayerfully give your life to that. We're going to have a congregational meeting here in just a moment. We're going to conclude, and I want you to be thinking about some other things that we're going to talk about. But if you need to become a Christian this morning, we'll take all the time necessary to make all the arrangements to roll this thing away and to take you down to the waters of baptism and baptize you into Jesus Christ. We're never in so much a hurry that we would not pause to bring you into the kingdom of God. If you would submit to that, we would love for you to do that. And if you're a member of this congregation and you need to be prayed for, you're going through struggles and trials in your life and you need our help and our encouragement, if you have fallen from the faith in your own heart and you need to make confession of sin for that, we're more than willing to take time and pause to help you to be made right with God, be made right with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Whatever your need might be, as together we stand, as we sing.